greetings once again from St. Michael's Broadcast. And we continue today with the urgent prophecies of the last times as they have come to us through the intercession of the Mother of God. In Amos 3:7 it says, "For the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets." And in our day, the Lord God has raised up one such prophet to champion his cause. We refer to the late seer Veronica of the Cross, who was instrumental in bringing heaven's message to the world in these latter days. For a span of 25 years, beginning in 1970, Jesus and the Virgin Mary would appear to Veronica and would impart to her many insights and prophecies concerning the time of times that is approaching mankind. Veronica was certainly historic in her significance because of the special role that she had in restoring honor to the Catholic priesthood. Everything has been done in these last days to bring dishonor to the priesthood and to discourage priests about their vocations. It's almost like there is a bounty out today for good priests. We refer especially to the traditional priests of the old school who have not accepted the errors of modern reform. That is to say, they have remained true to their vocation, and we could not encourage these good priests enough to stand up for their faith and to refute the present wave of corruption that now plagues the Catholic priesthood. Because without this being done, it's almost like we are paying it honor. So exposure is necessary at this time. You are listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, and we have on the line our president, Michael Mangan. Good to have you with us, Michael.
Hello, David, and to all of our listeners, and it's always a pleasure.
And Michael, our Holy Father now, this past week has met with the Cardinals of America in the hopes of cleansing this pedophile situation from among the ranks of the Church in America. Do you think this is going to actually be successful?
Well, I think we're in a very difficult situation right now, David, and there's not going to be any quick and easy fix. And I think the best solution to this problem is, of course, we take our cue from Our Lady's messages, naturally, her warnings and her counsel, and that is a return to tradition, to the traditional disciplines and devotions that were very common in the pre-Vatican II Church. I think the fact that we have strayed from that we've discarded that, is the reason why we're in this mess here. In fact, that's really what Our Lady has said. A total breakdown in the traditional disciplines of the Church, a lack of prayer life on the part of the clergy, a loss of respect for the Eucharist. It's not going to be an easy solution, David. It's definitely not going to be a quick and easy fix to this. I mean, in a word, we really have to turn back the clock in the Church and return back to the traditional discipline and practice that was a hallmark of the Church before Vatican II and before we had all of these problems.
Do you think that by removing the holy disciplines from the old liturgy, this opened the door to this spiritual infiltration that's eventually now led to this corruption we're seeing?
Absolutely. And there's no question about that. And that's what Our Lady has made very clear in the message right from the very outset, right in the 1970s, 80s, and 90s as well. Our Lady has made it quite clear that the prayer life of the clergy is nil. They're not praying like they used to. They have become very worldly. And in fact, Jesus and Mary have said the message numerous times that they have succumbed to the pleasures of the flesh. And I'd actually like to cite a few excerpts here.
Sure.
For instance, Our Lady says on December 24th, 1979, "My son, his heart is torn by the manner in which you have rejected his way, even reaching into the hearts of the clergy. He has been turned away by many of them, for they have given themselves over to pursuits and pleasures of the flesh." Here's another excerpt on November 1st, 1977. "Clergy in my house, I have looked upon most of you and found you wanting, for you have given yourselves over to all pleasures of the flesh. Woe unto the man, whether he be clergy or layman, who defiles the young. My children, you must pray more for your clergy. They, too, receive heavy attacks from Satan. They have not been given a special passport to heaven. They need your help and your prayers." And again, numerous times Our Lady has commented that the clergy are not praying, that they have given themselves over to the pleasures of the flesh.
And And Our Lady has also lamented in the past the change that took place back in Vatican II. In fact, Our Lady in August of 1979, in speaking to the clergy, she said, "And now, what are the fruits of your labors? A loss of vocations, my children losing the knowledge of their faith, all manner of sin, perversion, and abominations being committed upon earth, until all the saints in heaven cry out to the merciful Father to put an end to these abominations." So it looks like this is really exactly what we're looking at right now, the end fruits of our reform.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, when you turn from your God, when you reject the Ten Commandments, and this is what we get. And again, here again, Our Lady said on July 25th, 1977, quote, "Clergy, bishops, cardinals in my house, return to a life of prayer. Take yourselves out of the world. You have become seekers of pleasure, pleasures of the flesh. My children, my shepherds, you will all be judged, and shall I find you wanting?" And another occasion, Our Lady said that when you reject the commandments of God, then the consequences will be insanity. And that's what we see visited upon our church today. This is so very...
Is it not insane? I mean, to think that a man of the cloth could be associated with something so base. I mean, something that is, St. Paul says, a shame to even speak of. And yet it's happening all over. It's in the news. It's really a scandal.
It really is. And again, I think a lot of this, too, you know, as we spoke off air, too, David, we hear the news media and all of these reports refer to this as the pedophilia priests. And really what it comes down to is it's not really that. This is the issue of homosexuality.
Absolutely. That you hit it right on the head there.
Right. Most of the victims, if you read the news accounts, most of the victims are young men. They are teenagers. And so this is the problem of homosexuality in the priesthood. There has been this infiltration. This has been there has been tremendous infiltration of the homosexuals in the seminaries and in the church. And again, this is due to the breakdown in discipline, to the gross negligence of bishops and cardinals in their diocese, and to the rectors and the seminaries and so forth. All this liberalism and modernism that is so prevalent, that dominates the church today, this is the fruit.
Right, and as long as we have homosexuals teaching in our seminaries, they will continue then to produce pedophile priests. That's about what they're capable of.
Right, and this is something that they endorse. I mean, so many, as Our Lady said, that many of the clergy, even the bishops and cardinals, are rationalizing sin. And again, as you mentioned off air, Dave, how many programs, how many dioceses are sponsoring these so-called gay and lesbian outreach programs? And supposedly, under the guise of love and compassion, and in fact, you and I know, and it's been well reported and documented, most of these programs are not teaching church doctrine, but in fact are reaffirming their homosexuality.
Right. This is all to clamor for the recognition of homosexuals in the church. They're making issue of their cause. And as St. Paul says, what is their cause? Men with men working that which is filthy, and even boys now. And to think that, you know, this would be done under the tag of Catholicism.
Right.
This is the scandal. You know, you talk about this being a scandal because it's giving the enemies of the church a chance to say, you know, to bash the church and say, oh, well, this is what your Catholics are really like. You know, but actually, the same thing could be said for the general wave of nonsense that has come forth since the council, because this is misleading the faithful into thinking that these reforms and these changes are somehow connected with the Catholic Church, when in fact we should disassociate ourselves with these things in the same way that we are disassociating ourselves with this pedophile scandal. Corruption is corruption.
That's right, absolutely. And again, it's so tragic. It's unbelievable. You can imagine the Mother of God must be just crying buckets of tears.
Oh, yeah.
Another sword plunged in the heart of Jesus, in the hearts of Jesus and Mary. And again, we can't lose hope, and that's why we have our Sunday Holy Hour. We have that from 10:30 to 12 every Sunday. It's a 15-decade rosary, and we've been doing this for 32 years.
And this specifically then is to pray for the clergy and the Pope, correct?
Exactly. That is a specific intention asked by Our Lady, and we've been doing this for 32 years. And if there's ever a time that we need prayers for the priests, this is now. So,
well, we can certainly see the wisdom of Our Lady 30 years ago, 32 years ago, in instituting these holy hours, because she already saw what was coming to the ranks of the clergy, and she saw how this was needed.
And this is really yesterday's news for any Bayside devotee. What's happening now is really yesterday's news, because Our Lady warned or told us in the 1970s that this was happening. And at the time, David, if you remember, as a longtime devotee yourself, I mean, we were scorned and derided and attacked ourselves that, oh, you're unfaithful to the church and you're attacking the priesthood by saying this and promoting this and so forth. Well, I think now everyone knows that what Our Lady said 25, 30 years ago is coming into play.
It was in defense of the priesthood. In fact, I would go so far as to say that Veronica, through Our Lady, really is the only one of our time who has really come forth in open defense of the sacred priesthood. I really don't know of anyone else, any other figure, that has been so prominent in this respect.
Absolutely. Good point, Dave. And that's really what it is. Our detractors like to turn the tables on us, but in fact what it is it is a holy defense of the priesthood. If anyone is upholding the sacredness of this office, it is Our Lady's message, and it is the devotees of Bayside, because we receive, obviously, as you know, we receive only from the consecrated hands of a priest. Well, as we mentioned, we are doing this Holy Hour Sunday. And I might add, too, David, as you know, so many other groups throughout the world are holding their own Holy Hours in union with ours in New York at 10:30 in the morning. And so this Holy Hour has spawned so many more prayers and rosaries for our Holy Father and for all of the clergy. And again, it's a very dire situation. And Our Lady said on June 6, 1987, quote, "There are many priests who have gone to hell because too few prayed for them." And the emphasis on prayer cannot be stated enough. Our Lady has said too, Dave, as you well know, that the clergy are under the greatest attack from Satan. That these consecrated souls, because of their power and their influence on a parish or a community, that they are attacked the most by Satan. Because if you can get a priest,
sure,
then you can perhaps get a lot of people in the parish.
I think
as well.
Our Lady said many years ago to Veronica, she said, "Remember, my child, it is the plan of Satan to capture the ruling body within my son's church. If he can capture the ruling body, then he can steer them the wrong way and in turn steer the whole church in the wrong direction." She says the clergy are on the path to perdition and leading many with them. And this is exactly what we're looking at today.
Exactly. And it's just amazing. But again, this is what Our Lady's been saying for many years, that the clergy, I mean, as perhaps initially as outrageous or just contradictory as it may seem, that the clergy have fallen to the pleasures of the flesh, this is what's happening. And when you turn to St. Paul, to the Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, the apostle explains what the works of the flesh are. He says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are fornication, uncleanness, immodesty, luxury, idolatry, witchcrafts, enmities, contentions, emulations, wraths, quarrels, dissensions, sects, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I foretell you, as I have foretold to you, that they who do such things shall not obtain the kingdom of God."
And if this is true with regards to these things, how much more true is it with regards to this pedophile situation? Because really, what they're doing now is a considerable step down from what you're talking about. This is kind of a category in itself. It's not only fornication or uncleanness, but this is a gross form of perversion. It's unthinkable. I don't know what words can really be used to describe other than abomination.
Right, and again, yeah, this it gets back to really this issue of allowing the homosexuals in the priesthood, the laxity of our leaders, and just this general rationalization of sin. Our Lady has said so often that we've lost our anchor. People have forgotten just the basics, the fundamentals of our faith, like the Ten Commandments. And so as a result, sin has become a way of life. It's been excused, dismissed, rationalized, and so forth. And, but it's interesting, Dave, just yesterday in the New York Daily News here, it's always good to see a courageous and a valiant priest that who do step up to the plate. And this is a wonderful example. And this is the rector of St. Patrick's Cathedral in Manhattan, no less, a very prestigious position, and Monsignor Eugene Clark that did. This is basically what he said, that really, he said, most of the blame of this whole issue is on the homosexuality. And he says here, quote, "The tendency to homosexuality is a disorder. Not a sin," he said, "but the practice of homosexuality is truly sinful." And he went on to say that it was a grave mistake to allow gays in the priesthood.
Actually, they're the ones that are spawning all this pedophile corruption. This is a direct result of their presence in the church. We can pray now, and hopefully the prayers can be used to rescue some priests here and there and sort of help hold the ailing bark of Peter afloat. But I think at this point, it's going to take direct intervention from the Eternal Father to really straighten the situation out.
Because the evil is so rooted, it really is entrenched. It seems like it is a very difficult situation, but nonetheless, God sees everything. Of course, we mustn't lose hope. In fact, Our Lady said herself in the message that we will rejoice one day when we see the number of priestly souls that we have saved through this Sunday holy hour that we have. So prayer is so powerful, it truly is, and that's why we urge people, of course, Dave, as you do in the radio program, to pray the rosary as often as possible, and if possible, to join us at the Sunday Holy Hour in New York. It's a wonderful occasion to really contribute to the cause in offering up as a gift to our Heavenly Mother our love and our prayer to our Holy Mother so that she can apply it to our Holy Father and for all the priests throughout the world who, of course, as we pointed out, desperately need these prayers.
Well, we pray at this time that the Holy Father's influence and good words at this time will be influential in steering this situation in the right direction. Hopefully, Michael, I'm just praying in my heart that he will ban homosexuality from the church altogether, and that will be the end of it.
Right, and good point, Dave, because as you know, our Lord made his position very clear on June 18th, 1982, and I'm going to just read a brief excerpt from that message. And this is the time, if you recall, David, when Veronica could not make it to the sacred grounds, and Jesus and Mary appeared in her bedroom.
Yes, I do remember, yes.
Right, and gave a rather lengthy message. That's, again, June 18th, 1982. And Veronica says here, "Everything from the violence and the shaking that I feel that Jesus is very angry at this. The whole light has fallen from my table. It came down with a crash, and everything is falling off my table as Jesus is now banging the table, and he is saying, quote, 'I will not stand for my priests who condone homosexuality and allow it in my priesthood.'" And this is a sad commentary upon the state of the church, especially in America, when you read some of these stats. And I'm not sure that all of these stats are accurate. We do have to be careful with some of these figures and numbers and stats that they have. But some of them are citing 30 to 40 to 50% of the clergy in America are homosexuals.
And I think,
Dave.
You know, an important point here, as you just stated, that our Lord will not stand for his priests who so much as condone homosexuality. And if you open up to St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, I think it's the first chapter there, he's talking about homosexuality, how women would abandon the natural use, and also men would be shameful with men. And he goes on to say that they didn't realize that they that do these things are worthy of death, and not only they that do them, but also those who consent to those that do them. So this ties right in with what you're saying. And I remember our Lord, too, I believe it was June 2nd, 1979,
correct,
said, all who become part of or condone homosexuality shall be destroyed. I mean, that's powerful words. If you so much as condone that condition,
right,
and you're not ashamed of that effeminate, degraded condition, that in itself is going to put you on the left side.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it is. We have to be quite frank. Just to follow up on your point there, that we have to be quite frank and direct on this, because the problem is the clergy and the leaders are not in the church today. And as Our Lady has sent the message, the greatest charity and service that you can do to your neighbor is to instruct them with charity and firmness when they are in error, when they're on the road to damnation, on the road to perdition. And so, when you come across a homosexual and one who is parading his vice and thinks this is okay, it really is our duty to confront them and to inform them that this is offensive to God, that you must repent of your sin if you wish to save your soul and enter into the kingdom of heaven. That is the greatest act of charity we can do.
Charity is rescuing those who are stuck in the mud. If you see somebody stuck in quicksand, you extend to him a hand and you yank him out. That's the truest charity. If you sustain their addiction and just let them stay there, and you applaud their condition in the name of charity, wouldn't that be a gross hypocrisy?
It really.
If a doctor's looking at your cancer tumor and he says, well, you have a beautiful cancer tumor, I'm just going to leave it there. This is God's gift to you. That's essentially what a lot of these homosexuals are saying, that they're saying that this is a gift. They're, you know, they're encouraging this condition.
Absolutely. Yes, I know. And it just doesn't end, because, you know, first it's just with adults, and as you mentioned, now it's and it really does just really absolutely gets out of hand. It's just a fire that just is out of hand. But this is again, this is what Our Lady's saying. But the good news too, though, as usual with the Bayside message, and the good words of Our Lady and Our Lord have led to so much grace and blessing and good works and good deeds. For instance, as I mentioned to you off air, if you remember, David, the story of Michael Jaromsky Jr., who was a practicing homosexual, and through the good work of his dad and persistence and prayer of his dad, Michael Jr., who contracted AIDS, did eventually repent of his sin and asked his dad for forgiveness, and as well as the good Lord. He asked for a priest, got the last rites, and so forth, and he died repentant. And we know that for a fact, because I remember this distinctly in the early 90s when I informed Veronica of the situation and asked, would she remember a Michael Jr. in her prayers? And that's when she was reading my note, she said she heard a booming voice say, quote, Our Lady came for him. Glory be to God in the highest. Behold the advent of a sinner. End of quote. And that's remarkable. That's wonderful.
Really?
And that is the story of Bayside.
Really? I know you hear this criticism sometimes about Bayside being strong, but I mean, the only way to look at this is that Our Lady and Our Lord have extended their hearts of mercy to the entire human race, and anyone who so much as even beginning to listen to this message will be enveloped with love, will be on their way out of their troubles. I don't know how they could look at this as something negative.
Absolutely. I mean, these are the beautiful stories, so many beautiful stories of the prodigal son returning to our Lord and this is one of them. So,
okay, well, Michael, thank you for sharing this with us today. This has been most edifying, and we can hopefully pick up on this issue again, because I think this is going to be an ongoing issue in the church until this matter is eventually cleansed out.
Right, and thank you so much, David, and God bless you and to all the listeners.
And thank you, God bless. You are listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, and we've been speaking with SMWA President Michael Mangan. We would like to take this opportunity to invite you to write for the free information. Send your letters to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. That's St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. Or you can call toll-free 1-800-345-MARY. Also, we want to remind our listeners that you can now hear St. Michael's Broadcast each week on the Internet. That's Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. On the web, that would be 1120wbnw.com. Again, that address again for all the information, St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361, or visit us at www.smwa.org. And that just about wraps it up for today. Please join with us next week as we continue with this discussion of the plague assaulting the Catholic hierarchy. Until then, may Our Lady bless you, and may she shower you with graces in abundance.